Yes, it is. Excellent.
So it worked finally.
Yeah. I want to reemphasize what Teresa... Yeah, we are. What Teresa was saying about posting comments on the website Practical Work on Self, which, would you give that website again? And Molly, can you type it into the log?
The website PWOS, like Practical Work on Self, at positiveenergyguide.com. PWOS at positiveenergyguide.com.
So the website is Positive Energy Guide.
No, that's the email address if people are sending comments. The website is just positiveenergyguide.com/PWOS.
Okay. Now, we're all here working our way through this book. We're on page 150. Plus 160 almost. We've been working it for several months, 20 chapters into it. We have a lot of mileage on it, so to speak. And what I want to say is that there will be people that come after us. And the comments that are being made tonight by several individuals are very valuable. If some of those comments are placed on the chapter called Centrum of Cosmos, others will get to read it and in part share in this particular class, whether they read it in a month or two or three a year from now, several years. And that's a little bit like several of the traditions that are out there, like the Iron Flute or the Torah, the Talmud, and how various commentary is left, and then people comment on that. It's very alive. So Teresa's put up a website for us to use. If you get a chance, post a little comment or two up there. positiveenergyguide.com/PWOS. Take a look.
Also, feel free to send your friends and people that you meet who would be interested in engaging with this work to the website. It's absolutely okay for them to go and listen to the material. That's what it's there for. And if they're interested, you can encourage them to get on the mailing list so that if we're doing other classes and calls, they'll find out about it and let them know that they're not going to get anything other mail except for the mail relative to actual coursework that we're doing.
And we're on chapter 21 of a 24 chapter book, so we only have a few more chapters of the physic of the book itself to go over. And yes, then we'll have a couple of classes, several classes, depending on what people would like, to do Q&A, to wrap up some of the material that we've had and to gather it together, so to speak, and bounce it back between one another. So that's coming up. After that, at some point, we'll consider what our next class might be. And some of the consideration is to do human biological machine as a transformational apparatus. I don't have a copy at the moment, but if you don't have a copy of that, you might want to order one through gatewaysbooksandtapes.com and get a copy so that you can begin plugging away at it a little bit. It's got a little cover on it. It may not read very well. Let's see. Can you read that okay?
The light shining on the plastic.
Okay.
The human biological machine.
As a transformational apparatus.
Okay.
we call the book HBM for possibly an obvious reason.
You're starting and ending on some of the same theme here with your centrum of cosmos that you're sitting on there.
Yeah. The theme, and it's true, we're attacking a problem that is huge in nature, and we're trying to find different ways into it. What one question that I'll be asking individuals, and I'd actually like answers at some point, is what were your favorite chapters? What struck you? It may not be favorite in the same way as like what's your favorite TV show or you watch TV and stuff, but it's like what worked for you? What was effective? And because we're talking about effectiveness here, and that's just an interesting thing to reflect on. There's several that have been of great interest and quite useful to me over the years. So, boy. Anyway, so that's all. That's all the announcements, administration for me for the moment. Would we? You like to move on, Teresa?
Yes. New day, every day, new chapter. Chapter 21. The machine has the disease of tomorrow. Tomorrow is the only day which, just perhaps, could be that not quite attainable day of roses, roses. In work, however, we can take nothing for granted.
On the surface, you might think this is a pretty easy chapter and a pretty simple one, and you get it. You know, it's a snap of the fingers. Well, this, it's kind of, I think when I thought about it the other day, that it's, I think it's left for the end because it's such a pervasive issue that we must deal with. So pervasive that this concept of, oh, tomorrow, everything will be just the same again tomorrow, I can catch up with it. Well, we'll see. We can quite easily accept ordinary sleep and surrender to it without too much struggle when we are young. Later in life, the machine resists even ordinary sleep, but not nearly as much as it resists death. We can persuade the machine to surrender to ordinary sleep because the machine is reasonably certain. It's reasonably certain it will open its eyes and find everything more or less the same as it was today. If everything remains rational and predictable, even if miserable, then the machine will not, unless something very unexpected happens to disturb its usual smug somnambulance, become too upset. And that's really, that's how it winds up being day in and day out. It'll just work out tomorrow. It'll just work out, things will be just okay. Well, maybe that's the case. But maybe there's another way to look at it, too. If the human biological machine knows that it will die soon, its mental centrum will begin to consider very differently about tomorrow. The machine will have a strong desire to live even one more hour, hopefully even one more day. The machine has the disease of tomorrow. Tomorrow just perhaps could be not quite attainable day of non-stop absence of pain, even if today has thorns and yesterday was shit. Death, no matter when it comes, will always seem to come to the machine at just the wrong moment. Just when everything is about to go right. You just about got it right, and then, darn! oh shucks, if only I didn't have to die. This right now, death cheats the machine of this hope. The special sleep from which the machine is sure to, it will never wake up. Now,
David?
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just hearing something. I wasn't sure if you were rubbing the book on the microphone. But that sound is still continuing. Pardon me?
I'm not.
Okay.
Each day the machine happens to live on is due mostly to blind luck. So many things can happen. If we should happen to wake up in the machine tomorrow morning, we would at first glimpse of a new day fall on our knees in gratitude that it's a new day that we might be able to work some more. Skipping ahead a little bit. Each night as we lay down with the machine, we should strive to see sleep as a kind of death, understanding that there exists a very real possibility we may not, for one reason or another, awaken in the morning. So, note that for the moment, okay? So, when we go to rest at night, when we lay down, and you're in your bed or wherever, your car, wherever you happen to sleep, see it as a kind of death. Think of that as a process.
Our time.
Jump ahead. When we wake in the morning, besides jumping out of bed like a jungle animal, eyes open at full, all sentient alert, we should spend the first 5 minutes doing nothing but trying to awaken the machine. I'm going to jump ahead and then come back to something. Even when looking into a mirror, and maybe especially then, we are sure to see a total stranger to what we were yesterday. So, I read those, and those are actually three modes that we can touch on. One, when we're in horizontal sleep. One, when we get up. And then the thing that many of us do many times during the day, look at ourselves in a mirror. So we can use all of those as ways of changing something different. What has EJ offered to us with those three methods? What has happened?
Path World just says, oh, I'm in bed with a stranger. Ah.
Very good. That is very funny. Again.
Love it.
That's excellent.
Love it.
Yeah, she's in bed again with a stranger. So, these three activities are things that we do all the time, part of our normal, everyday life. We go to bed, we get up, we look at the mirror, blah, 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 blah. These are exercises, in a sense, that you inject into those moments. You inject into those everyday, routinized life that we go through. And you're injecting into those moments a moment when the non-phenomenal self is possibly activated and energized just a little bit. We're disrupting the method of the machine to just be asleep. In this life, I'm now at the bottom of page 161. In this life, we must take nothing for granted. We cannot assume that just because our surroundings seem familiar, that they have any relation to what we learned about our outer world yesterday. not only will everyone's state be different, but in a real way, everything will be different, just like a new world. In this experiment, we must try to see ourselves as a complete stranger to the machine and to this world, exiled from our familiar surroundings, living life totally in a totally uncustomary manner to our habitual existence. Every day, we are really in a strange land among strangers we do not know and cannot completely know for today, that they are what they were yesterday. We cannot depend on them to be the same. We must rearrange our idea of the world to see that each day is really a new world, and that those things which appear the same really are not the same. Is this an exercise that folks think that they might be able to take on?
Anybody home?
Certainly, certainly.
Sounds awfully hard.
Was that Jenny?
That was Jenny.
Yeah, you're right. If you do this exercise, there'll be a particular mood that'll come up. It's worth the stretch this one is. It really is.
So you have 2 weeks to do it.
Yeah, and for instance, here's the, I know everybody likes the language of, you know, honoring the other person and all that stuff, but here's the truth of it also, is that if you come up to someone, and let's say they're your friend or work associate or whatever, a vendor that you work with, but what if you came up to them and they suddenly, they weren't the same old person? You looked at them and they were brand new. They were a brand new person. That's the beginning of true honoring them. Not, oh, I honor the Buddha within you and blah, 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 blah. Okay. But actually coming with a true sense of freshness, that's bringing an essential honor to them. You're putting yourself into something. That takes some work.
Hey, David, Steve? Yeah, my little machine fell asleep while we were walking to stop the exercise. So
I did too, so we're even. I don't remember any of it.
I was like with you, and then all of a sudden there was this big Z in my head, and I went, oh, darn it, my machine went to sleep.
That's okay, Diana. You weren't the only one snoring. There were a couple of others.
I'll never admit it.
The girl said, I think it will be pounding the head against the concept until there's no rest for the wicked or the stranger. So it's really a matter of kind of wanting to walk through a whole day with a fresh set of eyes and not like, oh God, it's the same old, you know, person at the post office, but walking in and starting with looking at ourselves differently. Like, I love what Townsend Girl said about waking up with a stranger, and hilarious. Looking at ourselves differently, and as much as we can remain awake throughout the day, revisiting everybody we see and our normal activities with a fresh set of eyes.
Well, I'm kind of lucky during the class here because there's a computer screen about 10 feet away from me, and every once in a while I'll glance up and I see this person on the screen, and I don't particularly care for what they look like, but, and then there's like this strange like sense of recognition. And I think I know that person.
But do you?
I don't. And I know for a fact that it's not me. So that's pretty good.
So, and this can be extended, Diana, to say one's relative.
Oh.
Instead of thinking that we know them and they've done this X thing 17 million times before, they're doing it for the very first time, maybe one responds differently.
Yeah, that would be good, too.
And you know, there's another aspect of this as well, which is what we're really trying to do is exercise our non-phenomenal self, that part of ourselves which we rarely exercise. So this idea of every day is a new day, it's really from the point of view of our non-phenomenal self, which has no real memory bank at all because it's always present in the moment.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do is pacify the historical personality's insistence on identifying everything mechanically and automatically with the non-phenomenal part of ourselves looking at the world around it as though it's white light, which has suddenly become objects. If you catch that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a great comment. And it's also, we could combine that with the exercise where you're intentionally being illiterate, looking at words and not
right.
interpreting them or automatically interpreting those impressions. We don't already know what everything means when we do this exercise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
Well, like if you have a relative and they do something and you say something like, well, that's what they always do, then...
That's right. You know, if we think about the non-phenomenal self as its only experience is undifferentiated unity measured in accordance with vibratory sensation. So it doesn't pass judgment, and it can't pass judgment on anybody or anything. That's why we have to develop a historical personality in order to keep ourselves safe.
Well, in order to survive on this planet in this form, you have to have a historical personality.
Right.
No question about it. It's very useful.
Yep.
And it has served its purpose well, because here we are, right? But it is not the king of the castle. It is not our guide. And we're developing a new guide. If you can maintain this feeling of new day every day, by definition, the machine, the sleeping machine, historical personality, cannot operate in that mode. It cannot be there. So what happens? Then you're left with being in the moment. As was said a long time ago when we started all of this, 45 years ago or 30 years ago, whenever it was, be here now. And that's not easy to do. But to actually be here now, with whatever you're doing, you will automatically drop the judgments, you'll drop comparison, and you'll just be with the moment as it is.
So Ginger Rogers says, don't try this exercise with your family members at first, necessarily, at least out loud. Pretend you remember everything. And then Kathy Girl said, oh, I was looking forward to forgetting my mother-in-law, darn.
Well, actually that is a one type of exercise, is that you do forget everything and pretend that you remember. It takes a little practice, though.
That's tricky.
Yeah, it is. So this is a fun exercise, and you have 2 weeks to do it. So, and if you have comments in between, send them in. We'd all love to see them. Otherwise, I can't. That's it. What else?
I'd like to make it clear this. So next week, we are going to have our session or not?
No.
No, next week, Silverdale and I will be at the Spurgeon.
Oh, you're going, you have a soiree at the Good Ethiopian Dance.
Oh, whatever that thing is, we're just going to go and watch it.
Okay. The other question that I was going to ask you, whatever happened with, remember Diane asked David maybe at the end of the course to have a list of the exercise? I don't know if that went ahead or...
David is actively working on that and has sent drafts to Silverdale and myself for various edits and opinions. I'm sure it will be coming shortly.
Guillermo, you will be very impressed with it. I'm looking at the drafts and the edits. It's very impressive. Good work, David and Teresa. Your edits were extraordinary.
But I don't have any doubts.
I'm waiting for some of the people to send their comments back. I can proceed.
Dave, I don't know how to use word perfect. I'm wondering. I've got to spend some time on that.
Okay, and I'll tell you. It's real easy, but not right now. We're recording.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so good night. Thank you for coming, and it was great to have everybody here with your sincere questions and engagement with the work and your participation. It really makes it worthwhile to come together in this invocation that we call our Practical Work on Self class. And with that, I'll say good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.
Good night.